basis of my teaching too, is that I spent a lot of time, and this used to drive me nuts too when guys wouldn't do this. Okay, I used to spend a lot of time teaching post players to locate. And when you do those power pivots, you have to know where the defense, well, you always have to know where the defense is, but you have to locate. Okay.
How do you teach that?
Excuse me?
How do you teach that, teaching them to locate?
I don't know. I don't know. That's how I stopped. That's why I stopped. I tried for 30 years. It didn't work out. I remember when I was a real young coach, and I don't want to show my age, but I went to a clinic, and they had a discussion about Elgin Baylor. Now, I would imagine for most people on the phone, Elgin Baylor is either a non-entity or he was the guy that was fired last year as the general manager of the Clippers. Okay, but for me, Elgin Baylor was the original LeBron James.
Yeah.
He was before Jordan. He was before Dr. J. He was before Connie Hawkins. He and Rod Hundley, okay, who up until this year, Rod Hundley just retired as the announcer for the Utah Jazz. And Hundley used to go out, because he was a very humorous guy, Hundley used to go out on a lecture tour, and because he played with the Lakers and then got a little bit into coaching, he would go out and he would go and do coaches' clinics. And he played several years with Elgin Baylor. And he tells a story about how he and Elgin Baylor set the record for most points scored by two players in Madison Square Garden, that between the two of them, they scored 83 points, and Elgin had 81 of them. So that's how they combined for 83. But he told a story about Elgin Baylor when they talked about his offensive skill, which at the time was as revolutionary as Julius Irving's was, and as Michael Jordan's was. And they asked what the most important thing to his offensive arsenal was. And he said it was immediacy. He said, whatever you're going to do when you get the ball, do it immediately. Because the more you study, the more the defense gains an advantage. And that stayed with me for a long time, even though I continued to teach, locate the defense, and watch players turn the ball over time and time again as they're trying to figure out where the defense is, and one of those little buggers playing on a perimeter would come over and take the ball away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I learned that if players are going to do what they're most comfortable with and what they're best at, why not do that and do it immediately? Going back to what Elgin Baylor said, immediacy. Okay, you can have a really good defensive player, and you can know that what a player likes to do is a left foot front pivot jump shot. And if you're good enough at it, regardless of what the defense does, you're still going to get in that situation. See, but then I figure if I'm going to teach you to do what you're best at, and I'm going to teach you to do it immediately, every once in a while they're going to stop you. What are you going to do? That's when I came up with the counter system. The footwork is not new. I think one of the things that makes my teaching a little bit unique is the way I present it, and the fact that I don't want my guy to locate the defense. If he likes to left foot front pivot jump shot, if the defense is not going to allow him to do that, I don't want him looking to do things that he's not comfortable doing. So I want him to get comfortable first. So regardless of where the defense is, I want him to left foot front pivot and allow him to make that decision. As he gets more comfortable with his feet and he does other things, he'll do other things. But when push comes to shove, I mean, all of us are human. We'll all do the same thing. When we are faced in a situation that we are uncomfortable with, we're going to revert to what's comfortable. So why not teach that way? So that's why I got away from locating, because also talking about post play in particular, low post play, you're trying to locate with your back to the offense, to the defensive player. You don't know where he is, and you don't know where the basket is. If you're going to locate him, why not use a pivot to face up, and then you know exactly where he is? and try and drill enough and get enough repetitions so your counter is instinctive.
Okay. Along with that, if you don't mind, so maybe a great way to teach, if they're defending on the low side, then it's an automatic drop step to the middle, and then you can teach the counters from there if they're able to recover. If they're quartering on the top side, then same thing, drop step baseline, use the counters if they recover.
Yeah, that could work for you. And theoretically, that's what I tried to teach. But for me, and it was probably my teaching, okay, that didn't work for me. Because I found that even when a guy was being played on the low side, because he was comfortable making front pivots or going to the baseline, he would go that way to start with anyway. And that's also one of the reasons why I've gone to chairs when I teach and away from passes. Because I used to put somebody in a low post, and I expected him to react to my passes. And in the drills, he would do it great. If I threw it over the top, he would go to the middle. If I threw it to the baseline, he would go baseline. If I threw it directly into his body, he would just turn. And in the drills, that worked great. But in the games and in competition, they would still do what they were comfortable with. So that's why, and I'm not telling you not to do that, not to teach that, okay? But essentially what I do is I expose them to everything and I let them choose, okay? I give them as few rules as possible. When we get into competition and when we get into games, now, when I train people, I don't do it competitively. It's very, very rare that I'll play one-on-one or two-on-two. And when I do, it's really in a different type of competition. Okay? But then when I get with teams and I start dealing with holes, instead of telling them what to do, after they make a move, if it's successful, I pat them on the back. If it's not successful, ask them more. It might be better. Instead of you showing them, because you're showing them constantly anyway, because you're going through the whole routine and you're exposing them to everything. Okay, you tried to drop step to the middle and the guy was there. What's your next move? Eventually they'll be able to intellectualize it, and once they put it in context, they work at it differently, and then maybe it'll become instinctual. But you have to do what's comfortable for you and what you feel is best.
No, I'm just trying to simplify things for them. And like you said, throw it out there. But you're right. They revert back to exactly what they want to do. Okay. So
the word simplicity is a word that a lot of coaches use, and they don't know what it is. Because coaches have trouble, and I'm not criticizing other people because I recognize it in myself, they have trouble relinquishing control and giving the decision-making back to the people with the ball.
Well, that was the problem with the team. They were so regimented and play.
Yep.
Now it's, we're going to play basketball, and they're looking at me like they have no direction.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
They don't know what to do. And not only that, they probably do know what to do, but they're so afraid of making a mistake that they suffer from analysis paralysis.
Yes.
And that's another thing, is that I think that you have to teach players when they're young, because it's harder when they're old, that a mistake is only an opportunity to learn something to make you better. Players play in fear of making mistakes, and I think that's our fault as coaches.
Uh-huh.
You have to teach them other ways to deal with mistakes.